And we're in this thing together. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king. And I'll make a note right here and come back to it hopefully. It's interesting that this message comes during this time. Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She's gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Oh, Lord, help me tonight. And I said, after that she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. Oh, God. What mercy God has. Look at verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I'm merciful, saith the Lord, and I'll not keep mine anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you of one of a city and two of a family, and I'll bring you to Zion, and I'll give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I want to focus your attention on verses 6 and 7. He says, have you considered or have you seen that which backsliding Israel's done? She's gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And after she had done all this, saith the Lord, as she's done all this, the Lord says, turn thou unto me. Boy, I want to tell you something tonight. The mercies of God endure forever. There ain't one of us here tonight, but we're here because of the mercies and the grace of God. I'm not saved by works tonight. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I remind you, when you get saved, you're created unto good works. And that is the evidence of a true salvation experience, Brother Bailey. Amen. It will work itself out with fear and trembling. Everyone will see the obvious work of salvation will produce good works in your life. But I didn't get saved by my works. Amen. I might have something to boast of. It was the grace of God. He sought me. And He bought me. He pursued me. He came after me. It was I who was lost, and it was He who would not give up on me, but came after me, not only in my lost condition, but even in a backslidden state. Brother Silvers, He would not turn His back on me, even though I had turned my back on Him. The mercies of God pursued me, ever the stronger. I thank God for His mercies. I want to preach to you, the Lord be my help tonight on the awful sin of backsliding. Now, you notice here, the Lord says this in the days of Josiah. And I want you to understand something here. He is speaking this to the nation of Judah. You realize from a historical standpoint that Israel as a nation, 12 tribes after Solomon, you know, it was divided into two kingdoms. And there was a southern portion that went with Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and the northern portion, basically 10 tribes, went with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And it wasn't very long before the kingdom divided that Israel went into idolatry. Jeroboam was afraid that the Israelites would go constantly down to Jerusalem and worship there, and he would lose their allegiance. And so he devised a plan to set up a golden calf at Bethel and at Dan, the extreme northern and southern parts of the kingdom. And he said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of Egypt. He ordained a new priesthood and said, you don't have to go down to Jerusalem and worship. Just stay right here at home, and you can worship God here. He did that to keep their allegiance and to try to keep the kingdom. It was the most foolish thing that he ever did. You'll read through the book of Kings and Chronicles, and there's two men that all kings are measured by. They're measured by David, or they're measured by Jeroboam. If they did good, it says he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, like his father David. If they did bad, it says he did not that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, but followed after the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Amen. He was an idolater. It was a terrible time. Israel went into idolatry. And it increased. She had high places and groves. And her idolatry increased and increased until finally God, in His anger, let the Assyrian army come in and take them into captivity and plundered their cities, their capital city, Samaria. And it was a horrible time. Well, now, here we've got the prophet Jeremiah comes on the scene. And all we've got left now of Israel is this remnant called Judah. That's where the term Jews come from. And they're the southern kingdom. The line of David is ruling over this. And in the days of Josiah, if you know anything, you Bible readers, about the kings and the chronicles, you'll remember that Josiah was a godly king. He destroyed the high places. He removed the Sodomites from the land. There was a discovery of the law of God in his day, and he wept and tore his garment, and there was a revival that seemed to be taking place in the days of Josiah, and everybody, it seemed, you know, was excited about worshiping God again, and oh, it seems such a wonderful time, like Israel's getting ready to return to her former glory. But all of a sudden, in the midst of all this, when there seems to be a revival going on, a prophet by the name of Jeremiah steps up and he starts preaching to backsliders of all things. It seems like we're in revival. Who is this preacher? No wonder they didn't like him. Amen. He's ruining the nationalism and the spirit of success. Preaching to backsliders. We're not backsliders. We're returning to the Lord like we never have before in this generation. I'm going to tell you something about backsliding. It's not always apparent. It's not always noticed on the surface. Oh, Lord, help me to preach tonight. Sometimes things look good on the surface. But God sees the heart. Didn't He say the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways? I can look out with my eyes, Brother Nichols, and I can look at a church and think, boy, this church is doing good. They're maintaining this, and they're zealous here, and they're doing that. But you let Jesus with brazen feet and fiery eyes, amen, and a golden girdle about him with white hair like the Ancient of Days, come marching in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and he'll tell us what we're doing right. Oh yeah, he's noticed what's right. But let me tell you what else he says. I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. You've got this right. You've got that right. You're doing this right. And I commend you for that. But I condemn you for this, because you used to love me in the first degree, and you've went down a notch in your fervent love for me. Hey, backsliding starts with one step, and I don't want to take that step tonight. How about you? It's a slippery slope that some have taken one step on and thought they would be all right, but they never recovered. Never recovered. Best thing to do is never take that step. Oh, come on here. Lift your hands and ask God to help us here tonight. Oh, Lord God. It's not always noticeable. It's not always apparent. Listen to the term backsliding. It's self-defining. Back. Doesn't indicate progress.
No, sir. Come on now.
Slide.
Come on, bro.
Doesn't indicate any effort, does it?
That's right.
Back. No progress. You know, you can stand still and not make progress.
Right.
Oh, Lord, help me here. slide. No effort. It don't take any effort to slide. Let me tell you something here. We're in a thing that we must progress in. We must constantly climb in this life we're living for God. Oh, Lord. Huh? Come on here. Amen. Listen to some of these things. Amen. I think sometimes, you know, if we're coasting, we're backsliding. I think sometimes if we're not making progress, we're backsliding by default. Listen to some of these things that the Bible says about the Christian life. It is called walking in the Spirit. We're moving forward, Brother Bailey. It's called walking in the light, as He is in the light. Amen. It's called running the race with patience. We got a forward movement here, Brother Francis. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. There is a way. We enter the gate. But brothers and sisters, once we enter the gate, we cannot just sit down. There is a way, and it is a narrow way that must be pursued, amen, until we get to life. Consider this verse, amen, from Hebrews. It's a watch verse for us holiness people. Follow peace with all men. Follow is the key word. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. There's a constant movement towards God. And if you're moving towards God, then you're moving away from the world. You're laying things down. Amen. You're becoming more holy as you get closer to God. Now let me ask you something here tonight. Amen. Have you gotten more holy this year? Does this describe your experience of the last year? Follow. Run. Walk. Or does this describe it? Back. Huh? What describes your experience of the last several months? Pressing? Huh? I count not myself to have apprehended. He's got about 13 epistles under his belt when he says this. Amen. I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those which are ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing forward. Amen. I've got a lot of accomplishments by the grace of God behind me, but I'll not waste time standing and reflecting on them. There's a mark that I'm pressing towards. You've been pressing this week? Oh God, help me to preach tonight. Or you've been sliding? I'm not saying you've slid all the way down to the bottom, but you're not putting the effort forth. Oh Lord. Jesus said, if any man come after me, He said, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. He said, follow me, to many of His disciples. He said to one man, sell all that you have and follow me. It is a forward movement, Brother Willis. Hey, amen. I want to go forward this week at Shadeville Church of God camp meeting. I'd like to step up another rung on the ladder. I'd like to make another step in the race. I'd like to pick my pace up if I can, or at least steady into a good pace of moving forward. How about it tonight? Are you moving up? Or are you just trying to stand still? I must remind you, you can't stand still in this race. It's like a boat going against the stream. Huh? As soon as you stop moving against the stream, you start going backwards. It's like an airplane flying. As soon as you lose your momentum, you begin to fall. Oh, God, help me. I know there's obstacles, Brother Jerry. I know there's mountains and hurdles that we must go over. I know sometimes our pace is not as fast as it is at other times. But we must keep a pace. We must keep running. Amen. The race is not to the swift, but he that endures unto the end must will be saved. It's an endurance race. You can't sit down. You can't quit. You've got to keep moving. Oh, God, help me here. Huh? Back. Slide. Yeah, let me just tell you something here tonight. Backsliding in itself is a sin. You know what we do a lot of times? We equate the sins that are apparent with the sin of backsliding. Well, look, she did this, and so she's backslid. Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. And look, he compromised in this area, and he's backslid. And look at what this family did. They built again that which they destroyed. They made a commitment. They laid this down. They destroyed this thing, and now they've picked it back up. They're backsliding. Well, those are the indications of a backsliding. I'm going to tell you something. Backsliding started a whole lot longer before that. Oh Lord, I feel like preaching a little wholeness here tonight. Before that woman ever picked up the scissors and started trimming on her hair, she backslid in her heart. Or she'd have never been able to do that. Before that family ever moved that television back into their living room, there was a going back in their heart. There was a slipping and a sliding in their devotional time. Lord, help me to preach here tonight. Before they ever began to adorn themselves with that jewelry that they had laid off, there was a backward movement. There was a slipping and a sliding. Oh, Lord, help me to preach here. Hey, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Sometimes backsliding has already begun down in the heart, and the children of God don't always notice it unless God has revealed it to a discerning soul. But I'm preaching to somebody in this building here tonight about the awful sin of backsliding. I wish I could tell this story that I'm thinking of right now. I'm almost afraid to step out on it for fear I might get some of it wrong. But I'll just in brief tell you, Brother Wendell Pittman told in our church one time of a woman in a church. It may have been in your area, Brother Bailey, a woman in a church that she looked the part. And he went off somewhere to preach. And came back. Oh, God, help me to preach here tonight. I think she had passed away. He came back to preach the funeral. And the family told... He told this at our church. It's been a number of years ago, and I'm just going by memory here. Maybe some of you have heard him tell this, and you can fill in the details later. But something had happened to her before she passed away. She had a dream, I believe it was, that she went to hell. And she got right with God before she died, and she wanted everybody in the family to be told. In fact, she began to call people in and to make things right with other people, because even though on the outside she looked the part, down on the inside she wasn't right with God. Somebody help me preach here tonight. Hey, I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that's going backwards. That's slipping. Oh, Lord. You know, backsliding is a horrible sin in itself. I know two men. They're both in church now. But there was a time when one of them was in church. No, no, let me take that back. There was a time when they both were not in church. Two men that my wife and I know very well, and I'll just leave it there. Amen. I don't want to get too detailed here. Two men we know very well, and one of these men had never been saved before, Brother Nichols. His wife got saved, and he was kind of mean, you know. He tried to keep her from going to church, and she snuck to church and got saved, snuck to church and got baptized, was so afraid he'd find out that she ripped up the pictures of her baptism because of what he might do if he found out that she had went to church. But he had never been saved before, as far as I know, never been saved. There's another man, amen, he had been saved before, and had backslidden. His personality was the kind that you like to be around. A friendly guy, even though he was a backslider and wasn't living for God, he was pleasant to be around. He would have something pleasant to say to you. Had a good personality. And we were discussing these men one day, and I told my wife, I said, you know what though? That one that's got the pleasant personality in the eyes of God is in a worse standing than this fella over here that's mean, that's never been saved before because he don't really know what he's doing. And this other guy had once possessed the good grace of God and the blessings of salvation, and he walked away from it back to the pleasures of sin for a season. And in the eyes of God, that's a more hideous sin. That's a more despicable thing, to have embraced the goodness of God and turn away from it and go back to the things of sin. You know what God calls it? He calls it adultery. That awful, heartbreaking sin. You know, the Ten Commandments, the Pharisees tried to find loopholes in the Ten Commandments. And Jesus blasted that out of the water. They found ways to go around honor thy father and mother. They found ways to go around thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus, I used to think Jesus, when he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, lifted the law up to a higher plane. And he did. But I really believe what he did there was lift it up to the intended plane that God had designed for it all along. They, through their traditions, had destroyed the law of God. But in it, God, it's a perfect law. And what He does many times in that Ten Commandments is He names the worst offense in every category. And by naming that worst offense, He condemns everything under the heading. And the Pharisees had bypassed that, but Jesus brought that truth out. He said, you said thou shalt not kill, but I say unto you that if you're angry with your brother without a cause, amen, you're guilty. Somebody help me here. He said, you said thou shalt not commit adultery, but that was to go against all the sins of lust and perversion, amen. And he picked that one and put it at the top of the list. He said, I say unto you, if you look on a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. But I said all that to say this, of all the sins of perversion, God puts adultery at the top of the list. Now that's pretty powerful, folks. Oh, God help me. I know there's some perverse stuff going on, and it's hideous, and it's despised by God, and it's an abomination in the eyes of God. But let me tell you something about adultery. It hurts a lot of innocent people. It hurts a lot of little children. Oh, many times there's an innocent party. In fact, many times there's more than one innocent party. And there's several children on both sides that are wounded. And that's why God nailed it to the top of that list. Looks at backsliding. He picks out that
sin and he mirrors backsliding as adultery. I've committed to you. I've given myself to you. I've made a pledge to you. I've given myself wholly to you. And you embrace me and then turn from me and embrace sin. Oh, it's adultery. It's a hideous thing. And it hurts and breaks the heart of a faithful, loving God.
Huh? Huh? Yeah, it's listen, I don't mean to be too gross here or out of place in the pulpit, but this is what God says about backsliding. He says, as the dog has returned to his vomit. Some old dog, pardon me for being too plain, but it's God's word. Some old dog goes out here and eats something rotten. And it gets sick. And regurgitates it. And instead of going on in relief, it turns back around to what's already been ingested and regurgitated that made him sick the first time and wants to eat it again. Now that's a picture of backsliding, brothers and sisters. Oh, it's a horrible, hideous sin. Let me tell you something tonight. Backsliders are lawbreakers. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You're guilty of breaking that law, backslider. Huh? Well, I don't have any other gods. No, but you've chosen something more important than living for God. I've not bowed down to any other god. Hey, anything that displaces God, what is it? If it's more important in your life than your relationship with Him, then what would you call it? I tell you what God calls it. God calls it a god. You don't know who I'm talking about. I'm gonna take a little liberty here. I know a pastor somewhere between New York and California. I'll narrow it down to that. He's a good man. I'm an evangelist. I preach some places where, you know, I believe a little stricter than they do. Amen. But if God opens the door for me to go and I can strengthen the things that remain, I'm going to do it. Hello. And this man's a good man. He holds some good standards. He really does. And, of course, He does one thing I don't agree with. They don't have TVs, and I do agree with that. But he's drawn his line to say, well, you know, we'll let you rent Christian movies. I've not figured out yet what that is. What makes it a Christian movie? Do Christians watch it? Does that make it a Christian movie? No, that ain't what makes it a Christian movie. Christians make it. Oh, I didn't intend on preaching so much wholeness tonight, but I don't know of any wholeness churches that's making movies. Do you, Brother Page?
No, sir.
You know, you set your young people down in front of a movie and tell them it's a Christian movie, and it violates what you're teaching and preaching from the pulpit. That's confusion, brothers and sisters. And God's not the author of that. I didn't mean to get off on all that. But anyways, some of his people, they exceeded the line that he drew and began to watch Hollywood movies. And he did preach against that. And you know, began to do things. He allowed them to watch what he called Christian movies and then little home movies they made. Well, I'm going to tell you what, well, help me here, Lord, anyways. But they had to sign a contract if they was going to work in the church that they wouldn't be watching these Hollywood movies. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you get down on the slippery slope of backsliding. Oh, Lord, help me here tonight. And this one couple got to watching these movies, you know, and not just what he called Christian movies, which I've not figured out what it is yet, but they got to watching the full-fledged Hollywood stuff. And so he found out about it and began to talk to him. And really, he was pretty merciful with them, Brother Nichols. He said, "I tell you what, you go home and get rid of them, and we'll just forgive, and we'll go on from here." Amen. And more than one couple, amen, one couple. Couple, I remember he told me, amen, he said they couldn't hardly let go of it. He said, "What about this ministry you've got? What about working with these children? What about this and this and this?" And all you got to do is just lay those movies down. But they said, my movies, I can't get rid of my movies. You know what? They had gotten something in their life, and it was more important to them than a work for God, than for souls, amen, more important than souls going to hell. Oh, Lord, help me to preach here. I'm going to tell you anything that you will not let go of. You put it in the place of God. And God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." There's more than a rich young ruler that Jesus could say to, "Yet one thing thou lackest." Oh, Lord, I got to preach to you tonight. Backsliders, lawbreakers. I'm taking too long. You preachers pray for me. I really am. I got to hurry. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." Well, I've sure not done that one, preacher. I've not carved out a homemade God. Oh, really? Do you know before they carved it out of wood, gold and silver, they carved out their own idea of God in their mind. And they fell down and worshiped their own idea of God. God said, "Don't you make any graven images. The only revelation you're going to get of me is what I tell you about me. And what I show you about me." You know what people are doing in this generation? What backsliders do? They carve out their own God. They still call Him Jesus. But He's a God that's all love and no justice. He's a God that's all mercy and no judgment. He's a God that sees everything except for when He looks at their sin and He's blinded. Oh, help me. And they've carved out a God that does not meet the dimensions of what God said in His own Word. God said, "This is what I hate and this is what I love." And they say, "No, that doesn't apply. That's not really the way God is. He's this way." And they preach another Jesus and another gospel and another God, and they've carved out their own Jesus in their mind, and they've carved out their own God in their heart, and that's what they're worshiping. But one of these days, that's what Jeroboam said. He didn't say, "We're going to worship another God." He carved out a golden calf and said, "These be thy gods which brought thee out of Egypt." That's what Aaron said, "These be thy gods which brought thee out of Egypt." It wasn't changing gods, it was idolatry. They said, "We're still loyal to the God that brought us out of Egypt." But it was a minute and a horrible representation of the eternal God of the ages who's holy. Oh, God, help me. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." You call yourself a Christian and you're living in sin. Let me tell you something. Christians don't live in sin. Christians turn their back on sin. That's what repent means. "Well, what if I stumble, preacher?" Well, "Let he that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." But it didn't say he has to fall. It says be careful, lest you fall. Sounds to me like it's a warning to keep you from falling. And the Bible said He's able to keep us from falling. Come on here. You do not have to sin every day. That's not Bible. That's false doctrine. You can live above sin. Are you saying, preacher, we get to the place where we can't sin? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm going to tell you what. You can walk with God and you do not have to fall into sin. And I'll even tell you, if you're falling into the same sin over and over every month, you're not just falling. You need to repent. Amen. You need to quit calling yourself by His holy name. Because he that serves sin, amen, he that sinneth is the servant of sin. And he that serves God doth not live in sin. Oh, Lord. Backsliders and lawbreakers, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Backsliders don't remember to set aside time for God. I'm going to tell you, there's more to a Sabbath than just one day every week. First part of the Bible, the Sabbath was a day in a week. But as the story progresses, we find out that it became a place in the land. And that's why some of them never entered into that rest, according to the book of Hebrews. But then he said, there remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. It's not just a day in the week or a place in the land. It's a place in God. It's a place of fellowship with God. Amen. It's a place of setting aside time for God. Oh, listen, backsliders have forgotten their prayer life. Honor thy father and mother. You can't honor them if you've dishonored God. I've already told you how backsliders are adulterers. Thou shalt not kill, and you murder your own conscience, backslider. Thou shalt not steal, and you steal God's good grace and mercy and favor every day, and you prostitute it on the things of sin. Thou shalt not bear false witness, and you believe the biggest lie there is, and you've told yourself every day until you've convinced yourself. Thou shalt not covet, and it's the things of the world you went running after more than the things of God. You're indicted tonight. I charge you tonight, backslider. You're a lawbreaker, and if you offend in one point, you've offended in them all. Oh, heaven help backsliders on the judgment day. Listen to the company that you're in, backslider. Judas was a backslider. And the Bible says he went to his own place. In one sense, Satan was a backslider. He was the most anointed cherub that covereth. And he fell from that. Oh, God, help me here. Oh, God. I believe hell is hotter for backsliders. And if it's possible, eternity seems longer for backsliders. The contrast of eternal bliss and eternal damnation is more keen and sensible to the backslider that's tasted of the grace of God. God looked at Israel, who played the harlot under every green tree and on every high hill. And his anger was kindled at her every day. And you know what God said to her? Return thou unto me. As bad as it is, as much of my laws you've broken, as horrible as you've hurt me and broken my heart, God stands up and He says this to Israel, come back to me. Come on back to me. You've been unfaithful to me, but I've been faithful to you. You want to divorce me, but I'm still married to you. Come back, Israel. Come back. Even now you're scattered to the wind in the nation of Assyria. But I, says the Lord, saying to you, come back, come back. On every high hill and under every green tree, you prostituted my good grace, love, and favor. But I'm telling you, come back, come back. I'll forgive you. I'll forget it. I'll not lay it to your charge. I'll build you up and give you pastors. Amen. Come back to me, says the Lord. Oh, what love. Come on, Kim. I'm here to tell you tonight, and I'm closing. You pray for me, saints. The most touching story in all the Bible. One that even transcends the gospel story, and even the secular world can understand. Is that beautiful, touching story that Jesus told of the prodigal son. Waster, that's what prodigal means. He wasted, Brother Nichols. Riotous living. And one day his appetite almost drove him to eat what the hogs were eating. Oh. You know, sometimes hard times wakes a backslider up, and it was a famine that woke that prodigal up. God can send you a famine if that's what it takes. And that's His mercy. His judgment is to let you die in the prosperity of the far country and be eternally lost. Providence and mercy let a famine hit. And he came to himself. Why am I perishing with hunger? My father's servants have bread enough and to spare. I will arise and go back to my father and say, I'm no longer worthy to be a son. Make me a servant. Oh, God. Oh, God, help me. I get touched every time I see a white-haired man looking out over the edge of the horizon and he sees that boy. Tradition says that if the elders would have called him a man, they would have stoned him. But the one thing that could protect him was the Father's presence. And he saw him a great way off. And he gathers up the edges of his robe. He's wide-headed in my estimation. He's an old man. Ha! Ha! One man said it's the only picture we have in the Bible of God getting in a hurry. Amen. Is his Father running out there to meet that boy. Come on home, boy. You were dead, now you're alive. I've been waiting on you. Thank God. Strike up the band. Slay the fat calf. Bring hither a robe. Put some shoes on his feet. My boy was dead, but now he's alive. Stand with me all across this building. Listen. Listen. F.W. Borham told of a prodigal daughter. She lived a wicked life, and I'm quitting. She brought disgrace to the family name. Went away from home and drug her daddy's name through the mud and broke his heart. And one day, in justice and with a trembling hand, he went and got the old family Bible and opened it up where her name was and scratched her name out. I'm here to tell you, backslider, God will blot your name out. She came to her senses like the other prodigal in the Bible and came home, repented of her sins, asked her daddy to forgive her. And you know what he did? He began to weep and cry, and it was almost like he was apologizing to her. And he told her how he had scratched her name from the family Bible. And in her curiosity, she went and got the book and opened it up. And sure enough, he had. But you know what she noticed? She noticed that it was done with a trembling hand. And she noticed the ink was smudged with teardrops. And even though he did it, he didn't want to. Even though he had to, he didn't want to.
And just as soon as she came back, he was ready, willing, and able to put it right back in there like it had been the first time. How about it tonight, backslider? Won't you come home? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just play real quietly there, Sister Kim. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your people that are here, for your spirit. Oh, God. Lord, convict somebody. Convict somebody that's going back, Lord, even if it's just one step. Convict somebody that's began to slide, Lord. Whether they're halfway down the hill, all the way down the hill, or just beginning to slide. God, convict somebody tonight. How about it? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Are you here tonight? And you fall into the categories of back. Pray for me, church. If you ever prayed for me, pray for me right now. Oh, God. Oh, God. Pray for me, church, right now. Oh, Lord. Huh? Huh? I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking right now but God. Nobody. Not even me. You're here tonight. You're here tonight and you're putting forth every effort you can to live for God. You're not forsaking commitments, but you're looking for new ways to make another commitment. You're examining yourself more than you are your neighbor that's sitting by you. And tonight, if something happened, if Jesus came or if you went out through the door of death tonight, you're 100% sure that you're ready to meet God. Nobody looking right now but God. I want you to slip your hand up. You're not being boastful or proud, but there's nothing you'd have to make right. Don't lie to God, friend. Don't lie to God. Because you'll not deceive God, you'll just deceive yourself. But you're here tonight and there's not a doubt in your mind. If something happened right now, you're ready to meet God. Slip your hand up and right back down. Nobody looking. I'm not looking. Somebody couldn't raise a hand tonight. Somebody couldn't raise a hand tonight. My wife's going to sing and this church is going to pray and you need to come right now. Come on. I'm not in a hurry right now. I'm not in a hurry, church. Let's not get in a hurry here. Let's pray. Let's wait. I feel like God's dealing with somebody. Come on, help me bring the net in here, church. Pray with me and wait with me while somebody feels some conviction tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost here in a special way. We prayed, we fasted for this camp meeting, and now God's reaching for somebody here. I'm embarrassed, preacher, because my condition's not apparent. Well, you better come right now, because if you don't, it will be after a while. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, you couldn't raise that hand up. Come on, right now. God bless this one. Who else will come? Come on. Come on. Somebody else. Somebody else. Pray, church. Come on now. Come on, church. I'm not in a hurry. Some of you men are sitting in the deer stand all day long to take a trophy. I'm after something worth a whole lot more than a 12-point buck here right now. I want you to pray with me and Terry. God's reaching for a soul. God bless this one. Who else to come? Who else to come tonight? Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Come on, friend. Come on, friend. Come on. God bless these honest hearts that are coming. Who else?
Who else? I'll even come.
Are you praying, church? Oh, Lord. Oh, I sat on a church pew, Brother Jerry Casey, and was so backslid in my heart. And some of the people didn't know it, but I knew it, and God knew it. And I feel like God's reaching for somebody else here tonight in the same condition. Why don't you come right now? God's already opened your eyes to yourself. Why don't you come? I know it's hard to do. But listen, it's going to be harder to not come clean with God than it will be to come clean with Him tonight. Come on, friend. Come on. Come on. Oh, it's not easy to live that way. The way of transgressors is hard. The backslider in heart will be full of his own way. And it's not a good way to be full of. Come on, friend. Oh, pray, church. Pray, church. Lord God.
And declare so openly, and this time, Lord, I'll serve you honestly.